Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a long hadith. Very interesting hadith of one youngster that the king had selected him to learn magic from the magician of that time, because the king wanted to have some succession plan. So this magician that was existing, now he was getting old, so he wanted this youngster to go and learn magic from that magician. But en route to that magician, this youngster was a very bright youngster, intelligent youngster. He found a monk that he found sitting in the monk's company very, very beneficial. So he was more happier to sit in the monk's company. And then after sitting in his company, then he would go to the magician. So as the incident goes, we see how a person, a youngster, this was not in the time of Rasulullah, this was before, in the before's time. So therefore, we will use the word monk, we will use the word magician, and you'll see what the difference is, etc. But it wasn't in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it shows, it teaches us a lesson that where a person is dedicated, a person is disciplined, it doesn't matter what his age is, he can progress very, very fast, because he's got this dedication, he's got the discipline, and he's got the desire to progress. He can progress very fast. Age is not a barrier. So here we see, we start this incident. We've got a lot of lessons in it. As we go, inshallah, we'll try and explain. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, among those before you, there was a king who had a magician. When he reached old age, he said to the king, I have become old, so send me a young man to whom I may teach this magic. So the king sent him a young man to teach. On his way to the magician, he saw a monk. He sat down in the monk's assembly, heard his speech, and he liked it. Whenever he went to the magician, he would sit in the company of the monk. When he would reach the magician, the magician would later beat him for sitting in the monk's company. He complained to the monk, who said that when you fear the magician's beating, say to him, my family delayed me. And when you fear your family complaining, say to them, the magician has delayed me. So what happened? Because now he was sitting en route, he was sitting in his monk's company. And then he was going to the magician. The magician was getting upset, and he was beating this youngster for coming late. So now what did this youngster do? First thing he went back to the monk and complained to him that this is what the situation is. First lesson we learn is that we got some senior there, we should make mashura. Doesn't matter what the problem is. The problem here is he was sitting in his company and he was getting hiding on that side. So he came back to make mashura with this senior who was the monk there. He said, this is my issue. So then the monk told him that use this method. When you're going late to the magician, tell him that your family kept you back. Not that you were sitting with the monk. Your family kept you back, that's why you came late. And when you're returning late now to your family, tell your family the magician kept you back, that's why you got late. So in that way you won't have problem both ways. You won't have problem with your family and you won't have problem with the magician. So this was the mashura that that monk had given him. So he continued like this for a period of time. One day he came across a huge animal that was obstructing the people's path. He said to himself, today I will find out who is better, the magician or the monk. He picked up a rock and he said, O Allah, if the monk's ways are more beloved to you than the magician, then kill this animal so that people may walk on the path. He then threw the rock at that animal and he killed it. And the people were again able to use the path. He then went to the monk and he informed him what had happened. So another lesson we learn, he did something and now he went to give report to the monk. It shows that one thing also, a person in his progress, not only he should ask questions, every now and then he should give a report of his condition. Like how a person who goes to the doctor, he'll ask the doctor, what must I take? And the next time he sees the doctor, and what he does? He gives a report of what he experienced, his improvement, deterioration, everything, he gives a report. So here, this is what he did. Now he killed this animal and he went and reported it to the monk. The monk said to him, O my son, today you are better than I am. I have seen the level that you have reached. You will certainly be put through trials and tribulations, and when that happens, do not disclose my identity. Now this teacher was the monk. He saw the potential in this child, that how quickly he was progressing. So he told him that you even surpassed me now. That shows also that the student also can surpass the teacher. It just depends on the level of discipline, obedience, itaat that he has, ikhlas, etc. So now this monk told him that you trials and tribulations will come to you. People will try you, they test you, you'll have difficulties, etc. But don't disclose my identity. Don't tell them that you have learned all this from me. The youth began to cure the blind, the lepers, and treat all ailments of people. courtier of the king who had become blind heard about the youth and brought him many gifts. He said to him, "You may have all these gifts if you cure me." The youth replied, "I do not cure anyone. It is Allah who cures. If you believe in Allah, I will supplicate to Allah to cure you." So the man brought faith in Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala cured him. He then returned to the king and sat near him as he used to do. The king asked him, "Who returned your eyesight?" Now this was one of the king's men that didn't have eyesight. So now he took gifts and he gave it to this youngster and he said, "I'm giving you all these gifts, you just give me my eyesight back." And what a nice answer he gave. He said, "I don't give eyesight, Allah Ta'ala gives eyesight. I will just make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So anyway, this person got his eyesight back and he went back to the king. Now the king is asking him that who returned your eyesight? He replied, "My lord," the king asked, "do you have a lord apart from me?" And look at the iman of that person that used to be with the king. He just went in the company of this youngster for a short while. The youngster gave him one piece of doubt, that Allah is the one that cures, not me. So he had such firm yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just spending a few moments with that youngster, his iman became so strong. Who? That person that was blind and was there with the king. So when he went back to the king asked him, "Who cured your eyesight?" He said, "Allah cured my eyesight." Now the king got upset with this. So the king said, the king seized him and he continued torturing him until he informed him of the youth. So he kept on torturing this person until the person gave the secret away that this youth had cured me. The youth was brought before the king, who asked him, "Oh my son, your magic has reached such a level that you are able to cure the blind, the lepers, and you do such things." The youth said again, "I do not cure anyone. It is Allah Ta'ala who cures them." The king seized him and continued torturing him until he informed him of the monk. So now this youngster, the king had caught him, kept on torturing him. "Tell me who told you. Tell me who taught you this." Continuously, until he gave it up and he said, "No, the monk was the one that had taught me this." The monk was brought before the king and ordered, "Renounce your religion." He refused. The king asked for a saw, which was then placed at the center of his head. He was then cut until both halves of his body fell apart. The king's courtier was then summoned and ordered, "Renounce your religion." He refused. A saw was placed at the center of his head and he was cut until both halves of his body fell apart. See what people of the past had to go through just because of deen, just because of iman. Because a person believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would be sawed in two. But the iman was such that they would never renounce Islam. They would never renounce the deen. They were so firm on deen. So the youth was then summoned and ordered, "Renounce your religion, renounce your deen." He refused. The king handed him over to some of his courtiers and he said, "Take him to such and such mountain and climb up with him. When you reach the peak and he has still renounced his religion, then throw him down the mountain." They took him and climbed the mountain. He made dua to Allah Ta'ala, "Save me from them in whichever way you please." The mountain shook and they all fell down. The youth returned to the king, who asked, "What happened to your companions?" He replied, "Allah Ta'ala saved me from them." We'll continue from here tomorrow, inshallah. But look at the iman of this youngster. Everything that was happening, Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the one that is curing. Allah Ta'ala is the one that will save. Allah Ta'ala is the one that saved me from even your own people that tried to take me up the mountain. Allah Ta'ala is the one. So continuously, he didn't attribute anything to his greatness. He attributed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. As we know, today is Friday, we should try and come early for Jummah Salat. Increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should try and recite Suratul Kahf. And encourage the family also to recite Suratul Kahf. And take advantage of the time between Asr and Maghrib, especially the time before Maghrib Salah, for dua. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.